Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope to meet and shape your needs as a consumer in the marketplace.
Welcome to the Bistro Podcast. I'm your host, Elena Spinola. Today, we're going to talk about the dietary supplement industry and some new labeling requirements coming soon. It's a very large industry. In fact, the global dietary supplement industry is valued to be approximately $135 billion and growing. In the last 20 years, diets have changed. Nutritional science has changed, and the promotion towards weight management amongst healthcare professionals and the demands for more transparency in the marketplace has had a substantial impact in the growing consumption of dietary supplements. Joining us here today to talk about the industry and a new change in label requirements is Brian Womack, Senior Vice President of Communications with the Council for Responsible Nutrition. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Elaine. It's great to be with you.
It is great to have you. And hey, before we get started, just tell us about the Council for Responsible Nutrition. Tell us what the mission is and who they represent.
Sure. So we're the leading trade association representing dietary supplement and functional food manufacturers and ingredient suppliers. So our companies produce a large portion of the dietary supplements that are produced in the U.S. and around the world. That includes national brands and store brands that are marketed by drugstores, supermarkets, and discount chains. And they're also marketed through natural food stores and through direct selling companies. And what we do for these members, our mission is to sustain and enhance a climate for our members to responsibly develop, manufacture, and market those dietary supplements and foods and nutritional ingredients. So we do things like provide expertise in science, regulation, legislation, communications, and international affairs, and really take a leadership role in advocating for their interests. And everything is based on sound science. So that's really a hallmark of our organization.
Sure. And I know you do consumer surveys as well. Based on the CRN's consumer survey, about how many Americans are using dietary supplements? And also, you know, what does the survey reveal regarding some habits and trends in this industry?
Well, about three quarters of Americans take dietary supplements regularly, our research shows. That holds remarkably true across gender, age, education, and other demographic characteristics. Perhaps not surprisingly, the most popular is the multivitamin. A lot of us take a multivitamin.
Of course. And
the top reason that respondents give for taking dietary supplements is overall health and wellness. One of the things that we see in terms of habits and trends is an increase in herbals and botanicals. That's been up significantly in the last couple of years. For instance, turmeric was not even being reported a few years ago, and it is now reported as the second leading herbal or botanical. So there's definitely some change in some of the products that people are using, which is always interesting to track over time.
Yeah. And, you know, Brian, I'm definitely one of those 75% of all Americans taking supplements. I take a multivitamin and I actually take turmeric myself.
Well, you're well represented on our survey then.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I know recently the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has mandated a new label requirement for dietary supplements. What sparked this new mandate?
Well, a couple of things, but most essentially, it's that it's been over 20 years since the labels have been adjusted. So if you think about all the things that change over the course of 20 years, that's been a while.
Sure.
American diets have certainly changed during that time. The underlying nutritional science on which guidelines are based have changed. And so really, it was just time.
Got it.
More than anything.
Sure. And how is the industry and how had the industry been regulating itself before?
Well, the industry is regulated primarily by the FDA and the FTC by a law called DSHEA, which is actually celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. So there's a very complete regulatory regime in place. And as a part of that, there have been regulations issued that say what the supplement facts label has needed to look like over time. So really, this is an improvement over some of that and an update to some of that, as I said, because it's been over 20 years since they've been updated.
Sure. And then how has the industry responded to this mandate? And then what do you think the impact will be for consumers?
Well, the industry has really embraced it because this is an opportunity for greater education for consumers and greater transparency for the industry. And those are certainly things that we see across the board. Consumers want to know more about the products they're consuming. They want to have access to more information, and this gives it to them. So it's really in sync with what we find people want in this day and age, you know, as informed consumers.
Sure. That definitely makes a lot of sense to me, even as a person who consumes supplements. And, you know, I have kids and I want to learn more about it, you know, and I want greater transparency overall in all products that I consume, right, for myself and for my kids. And so definitely makes sense. So, Brian, let's dive into the specific changes that we will see as a result of this mandate. And then let us know, when will that go into effect?
So a couple of things. So some of the changes will relate to new daily values. So that's the amount that you're recommended to try to get in your diet of certain nutrients. So that, again, that goes back to the underlying nutrition science I was referencing before. So some of that science has changed. So in some cases, you're now advised to get slightly more of a certain nutrient or slightly less. So those adjustments are being made. And then there's some nutrients for which there was not a daily value established before, ingredients like choline. And so now those are required to appear because there's a daily value established for that now.
Sure.
Some of the other changes are just simple unit changes. You've probably seen some of the nutrients on your multivitamin label measured in IU. And maybe you've wondered what that is. A lot of people scratch their head at that.
Yeah,
myself
included.
That stands for International Unit,
okay.
Which is not a very recognizable, not a very consumer-friendly way of describing it. And so that's finally been realized over time. So that's going to be changing from IUs to the more common milligrams or micrograms, since really international units is something that's used primarily in the scientific community and it's not very consumer facing. So, but that's important to know because if you're not looking very closely and you see the units have changed, mm-hmm. you might think, well, gee, there's a whole lot more of this or a whole lot less of this than there used to be. Sometimes by a factor of 10 or 100 or 1,000, it's a unit change. So there's nothing to be alarmed about there.
Sure.
One nutrient in particular, folate, will now be measured as something called dietary folate equivalent, DFE. And while the IU change to milligrams and micrograms seems like it's simplifying, this one actually seems like it's making things more complicated. But the reason they've decided to do that is because different types of folate, it has been found, behave differently in the body. And so what the DFE measure will do will measure sort of how the folate actually acts in the body. So there's a big scientific complication behind it, but really all you need to know is that that's the unit for folate now.
Okay.
And that's one of the other changes. The one other big change is that total sugars mm-hmm. will also now be prominently called out, which they hadn't been before. So for folks that are watching their sugar, you know, especially if you're buying, you know, for kids,
yeah.
you want to make sure that, you know, you're not, when you're trying to add good things to someone's diet through dietary supplements, that you're not adding a lot of what you don't want.
Yes, this is going to be a huge one, I think, for most people, right? I mean, I think there are some people who educate themselves about folate and what that means and why they need it. But across the board, most people are aware of what sugar means for your body, and people are really looking at that. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have total sugar and then added sugars on the labeling now. Is that right?
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
That's a huge one, Brian. And you know what's interesting? You said, you know, you want to add something positive to your diet without adding any additive negative things. And I like to buy multivitamins for my kids, but they all have sugar as one of the first ingredients. And so I'm always on the search for a better multivitamin for my kids. And I'm hoping these new labeling changes will help me figure that
out.
Well,
they will, because they'll make it more apparent to you which have added sugars and which don't. And frankly, if consumers respond by buying those that have less sugar, then the market will certainly respond and you'll see more of those types of products on the market. There's certainly plenty out there now that have very low added sugars or no added sugars. But this puts consumers in the driver's seat and really gives you a chance to do your homework in a very simple way, because it's all going to be laid out for you right there on the label.
Yeah.
You also asked a little bit about timing. So this is part of why we're making sure we get out there and communicate about this, because it's a very long lead-in period to these changes. So for larger manufacturers, which is more than $10 million in annual sales, these have to be in place by January 1st, 2020. For smaller manufacturers, so less than $10 million in annual sales, it's another year. So it's January 1st, 2021. And what the regulation says, those dates are when the labeling is actually done. So when they actually appear on store shelves is different than when it gets labeled. And in fact, because this has been pushed off a couple of times already, some manufacturers have done it already. Mm-hmm. So what we want to make sure consumers understand is this is a gradual phase in. There's some out there now. There'll be more in 2020. There'll be still more in 2021 until it finally, you know, gets across the whole industry. But if you happen to see a change in a bottle along the way, you'll know what's up. And if you happen to catch in the meantime when the changeover is happening, you could see two different bottles in the store at the same time that have slightly different looks and feels to them.
Right.
That's probably because the transition is happening for that brand at that particular instance. It's nothing to be concerned about, but we just want to make sure people understand that this is happening over a period of time.
Sure. And that's why it's great that we're having this kind of discussion right now, because there are people who spend their times looking for supplements. And, you know, again, if they're not aware that this change is going to happen, they're looking at bottles. They might look a little bit different. It's great. And I hope people listening will share this episode. And I want to get to your website in a minute so people can get more information. But tell us about your campaign to be label wise. What does that mean?
So we're wrapping communication around these changes in a label education, label literacy campaign, because these are all good changes for consumers. We want to make sure that consumers understand there's nothing to be concerned about, nothing to be anxious about here. Some of the values are going to change because of the science. Some of the values are going to change because of the units. The look and feel of it is going to change a little bit, but these are all changes that are going to make it more transparent and more useful to the consumer. So we want to make sure they understand that these are good changes. This promotes transparency. But like with any change, there could be some confusion and some anxiety. So we want to reassure that these changes are coming and really help people be informed consumers.
Sure. Well, that's what every consumer wants to be, is informed. What is your website so people can look up more about the Label Wise campaign?
So all of our information about the changes, which includes sort of a fact sheet of a little more detail on everything that I've run through so far, plus, you know, some infographics that show what a new label actually looks like, and a very short video that in just a couple of minutes goes through all the major changes, are all at belabelwise.org. So we encourage your listeners to check that out, share it with friends, make sure that everyone knows that those assets are out there that people can take a look at and learn what's going on here if they've got any questions or concerns. You know, I've hit the highlights here, but, you know, depending on what type of dietary supplement user you are, you may want to delve into some of the changes a little bit more, and all that background is provided on our website.
Excellent. Well, we hope people go to that website. I'm going to go to that website. And as we wrap up here, Brian, what other ways does CRN educate the public, not only about dietary supplements and nutritional ingredients, but just the basics even on reading and understanding product labels?
Sure. Well, we spend a lot of time reaching out to the media, not surprisingly, since that's a great way to reach people. So that's broadcast, print, specialty, you know, podcasts like this. We spend a lot of time at trade shows, working with the industry on making sure that we've got a unified way to communicate with the public. And we create campaigns sometimes, like LabelWise. So it's a variety of ways. Maybe the most important way, though, is we're a membership organization. I told you we have both the manufacturers and the ingredients as members. So we spend a lot of time arming our members with educational materials that they can use with their own consumers, because they're the ones who really have the communication ongoing with their consumers.
Okay, excellent. Well, once again, we'd love to share that website with our listeners. Can you share it one more time so they can go and check it out?
Sure. It's www.belabelwise. So it's BELabelwise, all run together, .org. BELabelwise.
Excellent. BELabelwise. Awesome. Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today on the Bistro. We really appreciate your time.
Well, Elaine, it was a real pleasure, and I'm glad to hear you are both a multivitamin and a turmeric user, and that you're going to help your listeners get more informed about what's coming with some of these label changes and how they can help people.
Absolutely. Again, I am not alone. If 3/4 of Americans are using dietary supplements, this is some information they need to know. Brian, thank you again. We appreciate your time.
It's a real pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. To our listeners, we also want to thank you, and we ask you to visit us on iTunes and go ahead and subscribe to The Bistro. Go ahead, give us a rating, give us a review. For BBB National Programs, I'm Elena Spinola. Until next time, it has been my pleasure discussing better business and the dietary supplement industry with you.
You just enjoyed The Bistro podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTLprograms. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@bbbnp.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guest, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.